Galaxy Quest, yeah.
That, oh, God. Anytime like I'm bored, I'm like, I was going to put Galaxy Quest on. It's so fucking good.
So there are just some classics, aren't there? All right. Let's get into it. I get paid to take my clothes off, but here, I bear it all for free. Welcome to the Totally Wholesome, Not Dirty podcast, where sex work meets self-work, and we laugh through the chaos one inappropriate joke at a time. I talk safe sex, mental health, industry secrets, and all the stories that made my therapist cry. Got a confession, a question, a wild tale? Send it to twndpodcast@gmail.com or 702-900-6446 for your voicemails. Subscribe, share, and leave a rating because nothing turns me on like a little validation. And as always, thanks for coming this week. Oh, we actually have a fade now. Welcome back to the Totally Wholesome, Not Dirty podcast. I'm your host, Molly Stewart, and joining me today is once again Ivan the producer.
Hello. You know that opening?
Yeah.
Very radio voice. You gotta
thank you.
Yeah, I was like, wow, my God, that's
I have a lot of different voices for different occasions, for sure.
Yeah.
There's like podcast voice, there's intro podcast voice, mm-hmm. there's JOI voice, femdom voice.
Okay. I grew up in the era of 976 numbers, so you have the 976 voice.
Well,
but you also look good.
Describe 976. Is that like just like a call in for radio or like sex lines?
Lines. Yeah. So 976 is basically you buy a magazine and then it's basically like Sex Panther.
Okay.
You know, but obviously not porn stars. It was just like some housewife sitting in the trailer park with a sexy voice.
I don't know if you
Beavis and Butthead did a whole skit on it where they're like falling in love with this sex phone operator.
Yeah.
And then cut to her, and she's like this big, giant woman sitting in a trailer park with like molds on her face. And
she's got that voice.
She's got that voice.
That's all sends it.
Exactly.
I mean, ASMR is its own full thing. I mean, I haven't played with that too much, but I know some people, it's like their whole bang.
Shebang. I shot one, and it was our old tattoo artist, Evelyn Inc., and she was, oh my God, she was eating one of those long octopus tentacles.
Mm-hmm.
So she was like letting like all the little
like an actual like not a toy like
a real one biting into it.
Somehow that's so much worse.
I was like I'm cameras on tripod. I'm walking away because it was so brutal. Because like she's like having going in and out of her mouth so you could hear each not the tentacle the little suction cup things hit her teeth and lips.
Oh, I don't like that at all.
And then she would bite it so you could hear it like crunching and oh.
I don't know. I don't. What? Who thinks of that? That's what I have to know.
Right?
There really is something out there for everyone. And you've shot so many things that just make me go, what the hell?
I'm trying to remember last time we were on a podcast. Did I tell you about the rainbow? Okay, so it's not dirty. I could be dirty though, right?
Yeah, this is a lie.
Okay, it's a lie.
Something that you have to know about the internet, it's a lie. I don't know what to tell you.
It's true. I think I don't remember the whole rainbow shower with seven girls different wearing different color bikinis where they all throw up the color of the rainbow.
Nope, you missed that one. I would have remembered that because I have a puke thing. I can't.
It was a lot. I was hired for this thing. And
how do you sit? I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. How do you sit there through that? And you're like, we're gonna shoot something that people are gonna jerk off to today. And then they're just throwing up and you have to film that and capture that moment for profit. How do you do it? Because I couldn't sit there.
Well, since it wasn't for, I got hired to do it. So I'm like, okay, I would never shoot anything like that for me because it was something that I'm not into. But I was basically, it was Taylor Nicole. She's a local model who shoots really intense stuff. So she hits me up one day and she goes, I have this idea for, you know, there's seven colors of the rainbow. And we're going to have each girl wearing a bikini of that color. And each girl's going to have a dog bowl of that color. And each girl's going to throw up that color into the dog bowl. She goes, are you cool shooting that? And I'm like, so now I'm thinking visually, like, okay, it would be kind of cool to do like this profile of all seven girls like puking one by one in color.
But is it fake? Because how are you going to guarantee that the puke is the color? That's the thing.
Food coloring. So each one ate a specific food and put food coloring in it to make it that color. So it wasn't like, so basically it was like bananas, applesauce, something else, and the food coloring of that color. And so honestly, if you close your eyes and your ears, it smells like breakfast.
No! 'Cause you're
like, until you open your eyes and your ears and you're like, that's definitely not breakfast. That's
not smelling like breakfast. Don't worry, I'm just making you a smoothie. It's cool. Oh my god.
But there was something on happened on set that I've out of all my 20 some years in the industry, I've never knew about or shot. So there's this thing called the human volcano. Worse.
Oh no.
Human volcano. So we had two girls get in pile driver and again fisted in their butthole. So now their buttholes look really open. And another girl comes over and throws up right in the butthole.
Ah! This is like see on YMH Live. Do you listen to your mom's house at all?
No, I
don't. Okay, so it's a big comedy podcast, and they do a live show, and they have a part that's called the heavy segment. Mm-hmm. And these are things from anyone's, like, someone's ball getting punctured by a dominatrix, like, throw-up porn videos, like, you know, shit videos, things like that. And I've gotten so desensitized because of the porn industry and because I've seen so many things and been in so many porn wars where you kind of, like, send people more and more fucked up shit back and forth. You know what I mean? We've all been there.
Yeah.
And I've gotten very desensitized to the stuff that they end up posting as well. But it's something about the puke. Like, I don't understand where that comes from as a kink. Because has anyone ever explained it to you since you've shot these scenes? Do you love the pod? Of course you do. Do you love ads? Not so much. Do you want to prove how much you love the pod? Then join us ad-free on patreon.com/twndpodcast. Every tier of support gets you day early releases and ad-free enjoyment. The Totally Wholesome, Not Dirty podcast is made possible by listeners like you. If you want the full VIP experience, join any of our dirtbag tiers, which also gives you access to skits, photo sets, bonus episodes, and monthly Zoom chats where we sit down, reflect, share, and more. You'll also have access to Thought Takes, a mini show where I strip down and go in hard with rantisodes. What are you waiting for? Join us and be a dirtbag at patreon.com/twndpodcast.
Well, do you remember Two Girls, One Cup, right?
Oh, yeah.
And then all of a sudden the golden shower stuff started coming on. I think it's like, I don't know if it's necessarily like people jerking off or it's more like a train wreck.
More like gore porn.
Yeah,
where
yeah.
Where it's kind of not even necessarily something that's arousing, but just like you want to see how... It is.
Like prolapses. Like I can't imagine somebody jerking off to a prolapse. I get squeamish. So when I'm shooting and somebody's prolapsing, I defocus my eyes. Mm-hmm. So I know the shot's there. I know the camera's in focus, but my eyes just go boop.
Because it looks like the magma worm that's like coming out.
Yeah, it's brutal. Yeah, that's something that...
What's the thing from Star Wars? the Sarlacc? Is that what the comes Sarlacc out of the, pig?
Yeah, like, exactly. There was a years ago, I dated this girl, Cammy Andrews, about 20-some years ago, and she did everything. Double anal, double vag, fisting, all this stuff. And she told me one day, she goes, if my asshole ever falls out, I am retiring, I'm done. So I'm shooting her one day with Van Damage for Elegant Angel. And it was her movie. And she's like in this, in doggy with her butt up. And so he pulls out and then her butthole comes out.
It was hungry.
I just want to say hello. And I was just like, oh my God, this is happening, right?
Do I say anything?
Exactly.
You said you were going to retire.
Because she's looking back at me, right? Looking at me. She sees me. I look at Van, and Van goes, shrugs his shoulders, takes his thumb and shoves it back in, and keeps going. And I'm like, oh my God, this just happened. So after the scene, we're driving home, and she goes to me, what happened? I go, what do you mean? She goes, when I look back at you, look like you saw a ghost. You're pale.
You're like, I did. It was the ghost of your ass pass.
That's right. It's your breakfast coming out to say hello. And so she's all like, what happened? I go, well, your asshole kind of came out. And she like freaks out. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. I need to see it. So we get home, put the tape in because this is when it was still shot on tape. And we're watching it. And she's looking at it. And she goes, that looks kind of cool. Keep it in. And this in the edit, I'm like, oh, okay. Okay.
You like it where he just poops it back
in? Yeah, he just pushes it back with his thumb. You know, the thing is with Van Damme, he had like vitiligo, so his dick looked like he dipped it in bleach because it had like spots on him, like
formation. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's interesting. I didn't know you could get that on your dick. That's crazy.
Yeah. It could have been karma because he wasn't such a nice person. So.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
He's just got a dick.
And it is. It's funny because there's just like, there are a lot of people in the world. I mean, we're kind of discussing this before. Yeah, we're rolling. There are just some people are meant to find each other, but there's something about like a person in the porn industry that's like especially foul because of like what we do for a living. Do you know what I mean?
If people in our industry are going like that's a or a or whatever, you're like, wow,
you're like he must really be
you really stepping up your game. The game, that's wonderful.
No, that's crazy.
It's like clowns at a circus going like, that's a that clown is out of control.
Yeah, like we gotta get him gone.
That's exactly it.
That's the funny thing about the porn industry too, is like there are so many, not, I wouldn't say so many people, because not definitely not the majority, but there are people that you know of who you're like, how are you still working?
I think what's happened these days, especially with the content creator stuff, people stick around longer because they don't have to answer to authority. They don't have to answer to a company. But back in the day when I first got in, you kind of had to be on your P's and Q's. Unless you were like a box cover girl, you had to have your literally. If you weren't, like we used to shoot Taylor Rain, box cover girl. Did anal, did everything. She was super attractive. And she straight up would tell us, I don't even have a clock in my house because I didn't care what time it was. I would just show up when I would show up. And people shot her because she did, you know, she's her. Because back then, box cover sold. And if you're a box cover girl, you know, people are going to hire you because it sells. And so...
Do you think it's also a thing, too, that, like, the more the industry has gone on since you've been in it so long, do you think that there's a lot of things that have amplified in the industry that maybe, like, were more niche before and are now more common because it's, like, pushing the envelope more and more as time goes on, or not really?
I think so in some ways, just because... Honestly, people that are kind of don't have their shit together being in the industry, because back in the day, you had to be polished. Mm-hmm. You get so many talent now that's just not polished. The amount of people that hit me up to shoot for Alter Erotic or just in jail with me, and I'll go to their page and I'm just looking and going like, do you even like look at your pictures before you post them? You know, it's like there's lack of professionalism in some ways, because I think what's happened now is that a lot of people look at, I have a 2-week-old test. I have 2 weeks of just banging people.
Yeah.
Orgies and this and that. It's not necessarily a business. It's a lifestyle.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's changed content-wise.
Because I don't like that. I don't like the 2-week test thing. I don't shoot with that many people anymore. Yeah. And whenever I do, it's someone that I like trust to do. Because I know, especially with such a big influx of creators like post-pandemic, like enduring, when people are like, oh, you can just like fuck yourself and fuck other people on camera and make money. And then people try to show up with like 3-month-old tests who is like, I'm a content creator and I was on this and this fucking show. And it's like, well, you're giving the industry a bad name. Yeah. Like the industry has accepted you and now you're shitting on it, which feels bad. Cause it's like, not only are you not respecting your own body by making sure that you're tested and that you're presenting yourself in a way that's like as respectable as this industry can be, you know what I mean? But you're also endangering the other people that you are having sex with.
That to me is the biggest issue, is that people not caring in their personal life what they're going to bring to set, to somebody else that could be the most professional human being on the planet and is trusting you. It's kind of like, think about like when we're driving, we're literally depending on everyone around us
to pay attention.
To pay attention. Mm-hmm. And with porn, it just goes a whole different level of I mean, I've seen models go to bathrooms with strangers or civilians and do, you know, things that you're like going, are you going to go to set tomorrow? Are you going to get tested tomorrow? What's the situation?
Yeah, are you getting tested right after this?
That's because exactly it. Yeah.
It's a difference if you're, because I know that like some people think, and obviously some creators and performers are like this, but like if you're in the porn industry, you're just sex hungry all the time. You're just fucking everything that moves. And like, no. Some people are, though, and that's still within like a testing window and stuff like that. I feel like there are a lot of people in the industry who do very much look at it as a job and not a lifestyle. And so they are very respectful when it comes to things like testing, making sure that they're on time for things, respecting other people's time as well, making sure that people are paid, like putting in the effort. And then there's other people who I'm just like, well, you're just abusing this by being like, I'm a creator. And so now I'm going to go live my little life. And it's like, if you want to go fuck your fans and do all that kind of stuff, that's totally cool. But then you should show up with fresh tests, because it's not the same. Like a 2-week test only works if you're only fucking other people who are tested and fucking tested people. Like, so if you're bringing a new variant into the equation, your test is null and void.
Well, I'll give you a perfect example, because you just brought this up, the 2-week-old test. When I first got in, it was a 30-day test, and we didn't have that many issues. Mm-hmm. That's the craziest thing, is that we didn't have, I mean, the biggest thing was obviously 5 people caught HIV, but that was like a really, really interesting situation where some guy went to Brazil, came back, and there was another girl that, it was like this big mess of like, who gave who what, but...
Tracking it down.
Yeah, and then they blamed the guy who went to Brazil. They didn't blame the girl that looked like she could have had it already, who knows.
Yeah.
But we didn't have all these issues like we have recently, even with two-week-old tests, because people were more responsible, or at least if they were in the pool of fucking, they were in the pool of fucking people who are tested, mm-hmm. not out about doing their thing. And I mean, it also comes down to, like for instance, back then people didn't shoot with crossover talent. They just didn't. It was just, and it was literally because of a testing thing. It wasn't anything about homophobia or anything like that. Now it's a free for all. It really is. I mean, I hear all the time in Vegas, I'm going to this orgy, this orgy, this orgy, this orgy. And I actually had I was meeting with a model a few weeks ago, and it's so funny. And I actually was on the phone with another one last week, and I was asking him, like, I go, so what do you shoot? What's your brand? What do you actually shoot? She goes, I don't know. I just shoot kind of everything. I go, well, what do your fans want to watch you shoot? Do they want you to shoot? What sells for you the most? And she's a short little blonde girl. She goes, my fans love me getting fucked by BBC. I go, so why are you shooting all this other stuff? If this is what sells. She goes, well, you know, and I'm like, I go, well, you probably should figure out what your brand is. Because like, if this is a business, treat it as a business. If this is a lifestyle, you just want to go and bang everybody, go do it. But is that going to make you money? Because you also now, the more you have sex in this industry or in general, the more, at law of averages, you're going to catch something. Mm-hmm. So why put yourself out there when if this is a business, treat it as a business. And one of the girls, look, I've shot only like five scenes from my OnlyFans. Oh my gosh, should I pull them? Because I was telling her, go look, here's the thing, is like all these content creators, not all, a lot of them who are not looking at the bigger picture, are shooting everything. Mm-hmm. And orgies, gangbangs, you name it, double anal, double vaginal. And what you're doing now is, if one day you become successful and a company wants to hire you and they go, hey, we want to shoot your first gangbang. Oh, I just shot three of them last week. Oh, well, there goes the money. Mm-hmm. You know, and back in the day,
Diluting your own brand by putting out too much too fast. I always tell people that. Like, I, you know, did years of like solo stuff before I even ever did anything girl. I did even way more years of cam before I even tried anything mainstream. Like, stretching yourself out, no pun intended, for as long as possible in this industry, especially if you're starting younger, is the best way to go. Because you even sometimes talk to other girls who like maybe had agents early on, and they really push them to like do things too quickly, where it's like, you're not going to get known unless you do your first anal scene, and so you got to do that now. And it's like, she's hadn't even had her like first normal scene yet, you know what I mean? Like, and then so you're not able to demand as much moving forward. So if you can like work, and I'm not saying like that people should just be solo or anything like that, but if you can figure out earlier on what your niche is and only do what you're getting paid well to do, then you can take that into your fan base, create customized content, not necessarily just making customs for people. That's not what I mean, but like stuff that is tailored to what a majority of your fan base is interested in, as long as it's something you're comfortable with. Right. Because then you have all of the world at your fingertips. You're not just getting like a stupid peasley little fee to do and be a part of some big orgy or gangbang or whatever other, you know, take your pick of scene. If you have all that content prepped for yourself, ready to go, spacing it out over time, even if you're like, oh, I haven't released an anal video yet, shoot the video. Don't release it. Right. You're like, you hold on to that. Like, make people like work to see the thing. It's like, you don't want to give away too much too quickly. Otherwise, like, why are you in the industry? Because you should be trying to make as much money as you can. No offense. Like, sorry to anyone who listens, but also not sorry, because you're looking at people's buttholes. You're watching them perform intimate, kinky acts. Like, we should honestly make as much money as we can and as much as people want to give us. Right. So if you're going to limit yourself, then it's like, well, you don't have a way to grow or to rise if you start with everything right off the bat, you know?
If you blow your wad right away, there's nothing else left.
Exactly.
It was like when I was with Anabolic, that was the first big gonzo company I worked for. I worked for Extreme Associates and I moved over to Anabolic and learned so much about how to shoot, what to shoot, how models extend their careers. And back then, if the girl was really hot, she literally just came in doing solos. Like you were saying, you came in just doing solos. And then they eventually moved on to girl, because now the fan base is like, I want to see you with a girl. Mm-hmm. And then the girl will do girl for God knows how many years. And then the fan base is like, I want to see you do boy-girl. And the company would be like, I'm going to throw this much money at you to do your first boy-girl scene. And it goes on the same with anal or interracial or DPs or whatever else. Mm-hmm. So you extend your career as much as you can, because if you put it all on the table once, everybody eats it and that's it. And
yeah, it's like, and then it's gone. There's no leftovers. And you're left there as like this empty table.
Yeah.
You're like, well, wait, everyone left. There's no one sitting around me anymore. There's nothing on me but a few crumbs. Like,
that's exactly
and that's it. What you end up being left with, which sucks. Because What I like to tell people who are thinking about getting into industry or are new or whatever is like, can have an agent. You don't really need them. They are leeches. And in this day and age, if you are going to be someone who's like creating and making content, you should already know how to market yourself, and you should be doing that preemptively. You should be building up a presence, because even when it comes to working like with companies, I still think that there's a good value to shooting with companies. I think that it can be a very good experience and can teach you a lot about how the industry works and about how to create your own content, but you don't need them. They need you, because the people in the writer's room aren't going to get down on their hands and knees and start sucking, right, or fucking or spreading their butthole. Like, they're not going to do that. They need you for that. So if you demand what you think that you're worth and they don't want to pay it, guess what? Other people will pay to watch it aren't part of a company.
Like, and that's the thing, is like, if you're branding yourself, you know what you're doing and you're promoting yourself, a company will see that. And one good thing with shooting companies, you build a bigger brand. Like, mm-hmm. you know, everybody wants to shoot with brands. It's not because of the paycheck. It's because it helps their brand go up.
Which is good. Yeah. But I'm saying, like, and I agree as well, because that did help me a lot. It created a new reach of people. But that's what I went into it as. Right. I'm like, I know that this is like a pay cut from what I could make on cam in a day. But I get to go. I get to have an experience. And I basically get paid for them to promote me for something that I'm kind of already doing anyway. So if you look at companies more like that, like, you don't have to over leverage yourself and shoot like 10 scenes a month for all these different companies. Right, yeah. Like, you could be taking that time making a video that you make money on forever. Maybe not even right away, but maybe all of a sudden there's this flashback time where people are like, oh, I liked it, you know, I just covered you when you started in this year. And you're like, well, guess what? I have all these videos from then. And you can repurpose content forever. But once you give yourself away to a company, you don't see that anymore. And when the scene isn't new anymore, they'll go put it on Pornhub, put it on all the tube sites, and you can't take it down because you signed it away.
That's exactly. Back in the day with DVDs, we just would be comps of stuff. When I was at Anabolic, they did a series called "Cum Sucking Whore Named," and it would be the girl's name. And that's great. I find out that they came up with that name because there was a performer that had an issue, or the owner had an issue with the performer, and to get her back, because he paid for all that content, it was his content. Yeah. He decided to put out a comp called "Cum Sucking Whore Named Francesca Lay," which was the performer.
Yeah,
and that was the way he started the series. And he thought that was going to be like a dig at her, which I guess it was. But then it became a series that they started doing. But yeah, but then you put out this comp. The girl makes no money. He would make tons because she was a big name doing this stuff. So,
and you've signed away, your content. It's good to have the paperwork, especially if you're doing content collabs and stuff. But if you've never read the paperwork before, just look, because they can repurpose it however they want. But like, and there's a new thing too that I've been seeing with some companies who, you know, I've maybe thought about trying something with, and not even like a mainstream company, but just like we're gonna do a photo shoot, or maybe we're gonna pitch this product or something, and start checking your contracts for things, because sometimes there's these new little clauses now about how they could use it for AI.
Oh, shit.
So make sure that you're very carefully checking all of that, because, you know, if you're going to have yourself like on one of those AI apps, or, you know, I've seen like, what is it? There's MyClub, there's like Eevee AI or something like that. There's a few different new like porn star chatbot type things. But if you're going to do that, make sure that you're making the profit from it, because once you give a company the right to use your likeness to create, what are they going to make you do?
Like, right.
That you didn't consent to. And I know it's just a representation of you, but it is a representation of you doing something that maybe you just haven't done. And now they don't have to pay you for it and all that kind of stuff. It's crazy.
There's an episode of Black Mirror on Netflix. And it's a show, but it's kind of like a Twilight Zone, the modern day Twilight Zone.
I love that.
Have you seen the one with Selma Hayek where they use her likeness to make an AI character for a reality show?
I don't think I've seen that one.
It's so good, cool, because basically this woman comes home and she puts on Netflix and there's a show named after her.
Oh, no, I have. And then you, at the end, everybody, spoiler alert, like everyone has their own
Selma Hayek going to church with Selma Hayek's likeness, because Selma Hayek's likeness is playing this woman's character.
Yeah.
And she takes a shit in the middle of a church, and Selma Hayek's like runs to her agent and goes, I would never do that. But yeah. they're like, you sold your likeness, so they could do whatever they want with it.
Yep.
And then it's a really good lesson. And yeah, once you sell your likeness mm-hmm. to an AI company, they could, like you said, do whatever you want. Like now you're all of a sudden, your likeness is doing the triple anal, you know, and you're, yeah. like, you would never in your life do even anal. So
yeah,
yeah, it's a, back in the day, I've heard of companies having, and no one's ever actually done it, but it was in the release where they actually own your stage name. And I've never heard of any company of actually taking control, because all those contracts are written mm-hmm. by fucking lawyers. And most companies literally just, please sign it so I don't go to prison. And yeah. they never really go with it. But yeah, I've heard of releases that actually say in there, besides the likeness, we own your stage name, which again, they never go with. But especially with DVD world, it was so different. And then now it's a free for all with all the internet and God knows where the content goes and to who and how. And it's kind of an interesting thing about going backwards. When you're shooting stuff, you can't go backwards. When I was with Anabolic, the whole thing was, if we shot somebody, let's say for a girl, and we can't shoot her for only solos now because she did girl. If mm-hmm. she started doing boy-girl, we shot her for a boy-girl, we cannot go backwards and shoot her for a girl-girl scene because the fans already seen it. She only moves up. Mm-hmm. So if we shoot a girl's first scene as an anal scene, we're not shooting her for a girl-girl or boy-girl scene anymore because it's stepping backwards. And a lot of Gonzo companies back then felt the same way because there was also the turnover. There were so many models. Mm-hmm. And so you're like, if I just shot you doing anal, why am I going to shoot you doing a boy-girl when we've already seen you do a boy girl and anal in that scene because you're getting fucked in the vagina and butthole. So models would always kind of, models who got it extended their careers that way. And, and some who just did anal, I mean, there was a girl who only shot anal. She was a vaginal virgin in real life.
Oh, yeah.
Only that her name was Nakara.
Nice.
Yeah, and all she did was anal. Hmm. And she worked a lot when she was a Spiegler girl. And Spiegler girls just, they all shoot.
Yeah.
So they all shoot all the time. So.
Yeah, from what I've heard, if you're going to be, have an agent, Spiegler is
he's the one. I have nothing but respect for that man. He's never heard one bad thing about the guy. He's never tried to finger a girl. He's never tried
that's
to do
cool.
the other agents trying, oh, you should contact with me, you know. Now Spiegler's a good guy, but he's
that producers and stuff who are like that, or agents, whatever, always remind me of like when I would cam and I'd have fans, quote unquote fans, mm-hmm. come in the chat and tell me how I could get more popular. You know, if you just start doing like a cum show for free, then you'll get a lot of people in your room. And then when you get more people in your room, then they're going to be more likely to spend money because you're already doing something that's hot. Honey, what does it make you think of? Sweet, delicious, sticky, licking it off your partner? If you want to have fun with a special friend or are someone who loves self-pleasure, Honey Playbox has the toys for you. Use our code TWND to save 15% on your purchase. Amp up your playtime at honeyplaybox.com. You deserve pleasure, so elevate your experience with Honey Playbox and support our show by using code TWND at checkout. Watching podcasts is fun. Watching reruns, also fun, but nothing beats a live experience. Check out our friends at Jerkmate by going to jkmte.com/TWND. Every sign up helps our show. Don't jerk alone. Get your front row seat to live events. Try Gold Show from the comfort of your couch. Check the show description or go to jkmte.com/TWND to try it out. And I'm like, do you know that, like, do you look at me and you just think, stupid idiot woman, because like I wasn't born yesterday,
right?
It's like, you know, it's always that kind of self-serving, like I'm helping you, but in reality they don't do anything to help you. It's all just self-serving bullshit. Just,
of course, that's oh my god. Well, it's hard sometimes because the messages, I'm sure you get, I get a few of them, like how many men actually don't even look at women as actual human beings. It's like, that's a piece of meat right there. I mean, there used to be a website called Meat Holes. It was the most disgusting, horrible website ever. And it's called Meat Holes. And it was incredibly popular, whatever, 20, 30 years ago.
Yeah. There's so much I love about the industry. But I think what I love most about the industry is kind of like what I do, where it's, you know, and I know like there's something for everyone, but some things are just too intense. Some of the scenarios are like too much, and I get that people like it, but there does reach a point that I think, like with anything, too much is unhealthy. And I think that there are really good companies and really awesome creators who can create porn that's, I don't know if you would call it ethical, but do you know what I mean? Yeah, where it's something that's more just, here's actual sex, or maybe it's a little amped up or something. But I think when there's too much of that stuff, like Mijo's, it's like, well, obviously men have already looked at women that way for all of time. So that doesn't really help the problem. And obviously not all men, but I mean, come on now.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's well, especially now with there's so much out there. I mean, the saturation of porn is everywhere because all the clip stores and things like that. Companies are mostly dead. DVD companies, probably 90% of the companies when I first got in are gone.
Yeah, I'm like, does anyone have a DVD player anymore? You just throw that shit in your Xbox and start wanking it.
At Alterotic, we still have DVDs.
Okay.
Because it's not necessarily to get rich off them, because we're not, but it's to have
nostalgia.
The girls love to be in box covers. As a director, it's cool to have a box cover. And award shows still love nominating movies and actual movies, not, here's a scene from OnlyFans, scene number 854.
Yeah.
So they like the fact that the movies, I mean, look at Ricky Greenwood. He's killing it. He puts out an amazing product. And those all go to DVD. I assume goes to internet. And then DVD eventually, I imagine, goes to DVD.
But I feel like even that's another thing with the DVDs too, is that fans have a nostalgia for it as well.
Yeah,
because if you're a true like porn fanatic, it's like I know some people just have like, we were just had a Zoom chat for Patreon a while back. Shout out! I don't know if I'll say your name just because this was done in confidence on the Zoom. He had all these boxes of like old Playboys and all this old porn, like a hoarder. I'm gonna stand by what I said. You're a hoarder, but it's okay. And I just found it fascinating because I feel like, once again, like some people just watch porn and then they're done with it, right? But other people love porn. What I mean? And I think that it's that same thing, like different strokes for different folks. But I think there is something to be said for the nostalgia of having something tangible that you can hold on to, that you're like, well, what if OnlyFans gets deleted and I lose access to the porn I bought or whatever? So, you know.
When I first got in the industry, what I was taught was, especially because I would ask my bosses how sales worked. And, you know, you sell a certain amount of pieces out the door to the stores. And then if somebody rents it or likes it and buys it, that's where reorders come in.
Mm-hmm.
So if you rent it, you really like it, you hold on to it, or you just buy it right off the shelf. So I started making my movies something each movie something stood out, at least with the companies where I could be very creative with. Mm-hmm. And like I did my first movie, the big movie, Texas Asshole Massacre. I wanted to do something that stood out, and not only stood out, like the final scene, I recreated the chainsaw scene with Leatherface chasing a girl with two naked girls, and the one girl's running with a 3-foot dildo chasing the other girl through the forest. And so I recreated the whole thing, and it was my ex, Cammy, and I made her watch this last chase scene for the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And then, because at the end, he does this, it's called a chainsaw dance, where he's like waving it over his head and he's screaming. So I had her do the same thing with the 3-foot dildo.
That's awesome.
So, and to me, it was one of those things where, like, this alone, there's no sex in it, but it's two naked girls running around, people gonna want to hold on to so they could show it to their friends. And the funny thing is, that movie, still to this day, I run into people who bring it up.
Mm-hmm.
Sage Stallone, Sylvester Stallone's son, I met him at a film festival years ago. He goes,
cool.
You're Ivan, right? Yeah. He goes, Texas Asshole Massacre, my favorite movie. I'm like, Rocky's son jerks off to my shit. This is
Rocky's
great.
Son gets rock hard.
That's right, exactly. And then there's one model in our industry actually did like a thesis in college on my movie.
What?
And another one.
On that particular one?
Yeah, Texas Asshole Massacre.
That's
crazy. It was so crazy. And one, Ryan Keeley actually owns a copy of it. So when I went to shoot it, she goes, look, I have Texas Asshole. I'm like, that's fucking cool.
That's so cool. See, that's what's fun about, like, I like working with you, and I like, you know, helping when you help to create content and stuff, because even when we're just doing stuff like customs or whatever, if we do have cool concepts, I know that you can make it happen, and you're a creative mind and a creative person. And I feel like sometimes porn is just so boring. It's just like the same especially for mainstream. I mean, right. You know, it's just like the same rehash shit over and over and over.
It's like a production, like it's like those commercials where with like the underwear commercials where the old ladies like stamped like approved by so and so approved. Inspector 10. And that's literally like what I feel about the big major companies, mm-hmm. like the internet companies. This is why I'm with Alterotic. Alterotic gives me the ultimate control. I could do whatever I want. No one ever says anything. We tattooed The Simpsons donut on a girl's butthole.
Yeah, you were saying that last episode.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, what company would
be
like...
I've told so many people about that, by the way.
Right? It's funny because I was on a panel, XBiz, and the whole thing, the only thing that people talked about afterwards was the story about the donut asshole tattoo, because it started coming back to me. People come up to me and were like, hey, my friend was on a panel talking about, was telling me the story about your asshole tattoo scene. And I'm like, yeah, it's, and Alterati just kind of just like, do your thing, have fun with it. And I have friends who work for bigger companies and the creative ones hate it because they're like, oh, it's just like, they love the money, obviously, but to get a script from some kid from who's not working for the company, just finished college or whatever, shoot this, and you got to shoot it like this. I write my own stuff. I shoot my own stuff. I edit it. So I literally have the vision in my eyes, and I shoot whatever I want. And
That's the cool thing about content creation that I feel like I wish more performers would get into, because there's actually something really rewarding about making something that you're super, super proud of, even if it's something silly or like anything like that. Like the music video that I did for the podcast, love doing that. Yeah. That was cool. When we did, for those of you who don't know, the Harry Potter scene with Kay Carter that y'all love so much, I haven't shot that. There's just so many cool ones, like the pirate thing, and we're just extending it. Like, how can we make this crazier? Right. And that's what's fun, and that's what fuels me. Because showing up for like a content day, even with trades, sometimes we're just like, there's no real idea. There's no concept. Like, it can still be fun, but it's not fulfilling. You know what I mean?
Cherie DeVille hires me for the creative stuff. She always hits me up. She goes, I'm going to do something really weird, some creative. Do you want to? I'm like, yeah, because I know it's going to be a long day, but it's going to be fulfilling because it's going to be so.
Never hit me up.
Okay. We just shot a Space Jam thing.
Yeah, you were showing me the photos. It's so cool.
Oh, my God. And I knew this. I'm like, oh, my God, this is going to be a long day, but it's also nerve-wracking as a director. I'm not directing because it's their content, but shooting it and lighting it and doing stills, it's nerve-wracking because I know what they're spending, mm-hmm. and what they're actually going to do, and the body paint and how important it is. So it is nerve-wracking in some ways, but it's so rewarding.
It's exciting too, though.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's like most stuff, you're just like, oh, okay, I know what it's going to be. Here's how it's going to be. Yeah. It's not going to take that long because I got the show under wraps. But if it's something that is actually giving you like, it's kind of cool. Because this never happens anymore.
The first picture I took of all three of them together, because I was like, oh my God, we're shooting in this fucking corner of a locker room set. You can't really get too creative with it. But I don't want to overlight it and make it look just like you could just shoot with your cell phone.
Yeah.
So I did this cool lighting and took a couple of pictures. And then when we took a break, I just kind of like grabbed them off the camera to my phone. And I showed it to them. They're like, oh, my God. And I'm like, good. Okay, they saw it. They liked it. Good, because I wanted to make it more artistic and more cartoonish looking. And
it looked awesome.
It was a lot of fun. The funny thing is, when I started editing the video part of it, I was like, oh, my God, we shot so many videos. It was like, it's going to take me forever to edit. But it was really cool because, especially when people are like on a set like that, you want to maximize it.
Yeah.
I mean, at one point, I sat there for an hour while they all shot their TikToks and reels. And it is very rewarding. And even if like it costs a lot, like, is you a creative person, mm-hmm. it's priceless. And
yeah, and it's one of those things too that like most content, like, I mean, all content costs money and time to make, for sure. But it's worth it because it's not like you do those big type of productions all the time. So when you do, you're like, let's go all out, you know?
100%, like, well,
May have a really bad return on investment with this one, but I don't care because I'm having fun.
But that's exactly like the butthole tattoo we did. It took 2 days because I set up a green screen for one day so we could throw donuts at the girl's face.
Yeah.
And she's like, I'm down, just throw as many donuts. And so we literally have these behind the scenes of a bunch of people standing off camera throwing donuts at her face.
That sounds like my dream. Yes. I'm not into being cocky, but throw donuts at my face all day long.
We kind of did that. We had her like this, like on her knees looking up, and we started throwing donuts at her mouth and stuff like that. And
That's so
just like, fuck it, let's just take a couple of days and do something really cool, especially with Alterotic. Everything is it's a collaborative effort. So so it's all content trade. And when we shoot this stuff, that's why I'm always like, well, let's shoot something really, really cool. If you're going to shoot trade with a company, I want to make sure.
So does that mean they also, the performers? That's really cool. So I didn't know that.
That's the whole thing with Alterati.
You never hear about that with companies.
No, like, no. We do everything. And what I do is I usually give them the content first so they could maximize whatever they're going to do. And eventually we just put up on the site and then DVD. In the DVDs, obviously, to make no money. But
yeah, that's really cool, though. That's awesome. Because there's, I mean, one of the reasons I stopped shooting mainstream is not like nothing happened. It's not anything. They just don't give a fuck.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And it's like, it's not even, and sometimes you show up on set and it's like, you want to just do the scene. You want to go home. You want to make it good. But it's like, why does it take 4 hours to get through Pretty Girls?
Right, yeah, right.
Like, everyone's fucking around, and it's just, like, you're not being respectful of the performer's time. Maybe this is, like, a big party for you, but, like, I'd rather be home with my dogs. I just want to get the scene done. Like, right. You're not paying me enough to spend fucking 12 hours here today, you know?
I also never understood the whole thing of having 8 to 12-hour set, if it's one scene, because you're training that talent's energy, so when the actual, the most important
the
part that comes...
part comes, you're fucking exhausted.
Yeah, people are just like, oh, and it's like, what I was taught when I, for whatever, all the craziness I dealt with at the first company I worked for, what I was taught was, do your fun shit, don't make it too long before the scene, and then let the sex happen. And the sex is the most important thing, because this is what we're selling. Because at the end of the day, most people... gonna fast forward right through your fucking storyline mm-hmm. to go to the sex. So if the sex is not up to par, what's the point?
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people lose that part of it. I get like big feature companies, they don't give a fuck about the sex. They just don't. It's just something means to finish off their dialogue shit.
Yeah.
I remember
they want to be filmmakers.
That's exactly it. You know, it's like, and I remember years ago, God, I'm trying to remember the guy's name. I probably shouldn't say that. He was like a big director.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember hearing through the grapevine that he was so proud that his sex scenes were now down to like 12 to 15 minutes. And I'm just like, what? Your scenes are only 12 to 15 minutes? Where? Oh, and boring sex scenes because they were feature movies. When I was with Extreme Associates, I got an offer to direct for Wicked Pictures. I did a movie, Texas Asshole Massacre, that kind of put me on the map, and they called me in. And so they gave me a copy of their Camp Cuddly Pines Power Tool Massacre, which is competing against my movie for best comedy at AVN. This was 2004. Oh, God. So
way back in the day.
Back in the day. I have it on VHS. I still have the VHS box at home. And so I'm sitting in this room, right? This is so crazy. It's like this conference room with all these trophies, right? And all these posters. And the guy goes to me. He goes, so how much did your movie cost to make? I go, about $8,000. He goes, ours costs about $150,000. So who do you think is going to win? And I'm like, oh my God, that fucking arrogance on this man, right? Then he gives me a copy of his movie.
Oh, so you know how to waste money. It's sick.
Oh, no. The production value was insane. They had like a van with people and it wasn't a drone back. There was a helicopter because there was no drones back. Helicopter shot and then, so it looked really good. It looked like a real movie. And then the sex happens. You're just like, every girl is cum dodging. Every girl is like, oh my God, there's acid in this cock. You know, it was like, what am I fucking watching here?
I was
here?
Trying to think of what you were saying by cum dodging and then your face just sealed it.
There used to be a series, I think I'm trying to remember, my friend did at Diabolik. It was called No Cum Dodging Allowed. So they were all facial shots. but that's what, like, I'm watching this going like, you guys spent all this money on a movie that looks like a real movie and the sex is horrible. Yeah. And the guy straight up said to me, goes, well, you know, our contract girls, and you know, the sex is just sex. They don't want facials because it fucks up the makeup, or they just...
That's the end.
That's exactly it. It's supposed to be the, you know, and the arrogance of what he was saying to me, and then what the one thing that was so interesting, he goes, you know, so you don't have to be the camera guy if you don't want. We'll get you a whole crew, lighting guys, camera guys, editor, and I go to him and go, so what do I do? I go, I literally love to light, camera, edit. He's like, well, you could just direct. I'm like, dude, I'm directing porn. I'm not directing fucking Jurassic Park.
So I get to sit there and be like, no, open up more.
Cut. Exactly. Cut.
You're looking away too much from the cum shot, lady. What are you doing?
Stop cum dodging. All right. As long as I'll take the job, as long as every contract girl takes a facial.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. You wanted to make my job boring?
That's what? Exactly it. Wait, I'm going to make a lot of money, but I'm going to be bored and I'm going to hate it. But the funny thing is, I debated taking the job, right? Mm-hmm. And so I started writing a script. You remember the movie Dodgeball?
Yeah.
I started writing a script. It was kind of like Dodgeball, but the game that they were playing was Jax. Remember the stupid game Jax?
Oh my God. Yeah. Not with the snatch.
Yes, yes. That was, like, so I started writing this whole script where it's going to be similar to Dodgeball, where it was like Jax competitions, which I'm sure there's no such thing as Jax competitions. So I started writing it and then had a bunch of personal stuff happen. I'm like, and I kind of like distanced myself from them. And then they reached out to me again and I was like, I'm not interested. But yeah, because hey, it was like creatively, it was going to be so oppressing to be there, you know, and,
yeah,
and I'm working for a company where literally the three rules with the company were no fisting, no shit, and no making fun of Jews.
Boring.
Yeah. Well, let me the Jews part. Yeah, I was like, I'm not gonna make fun of Jews anyways. So, the Jews own the industry. You can't make fun of them.
Like,
it's a joke. Exactly.
No one listens to this anyway.
Well, you said boring before I said don't make fun of Jews. So to be fair, you didn't hear the last part coming out.
I was preemptive. Yeah, this never happens. I swear, it happened much too early.
The first company I worked for, I mean, like, they did a movie, which a scene that I think is to this day the most creative, most interesting shit I've ever seen. So basically, it was right when Osama bin Laden was still alive and all that stuff, right? So,
oh boy.
So they did a scene where the CNN reporter is, as she's, it was Veronica Cain, the contract girl, and she's outside a cave. She goes, "Well, I'm here. I'm Veronica Cain here at the cave where we think Osama bin Laden's hiding." Right. All of a sudden, there's this performer. His name is Valentino. He comes out, literally looks like Osama bin Laden. The beard, the whole fucking thing. He comes out, and they use the actual Osama bin Laden's voice because he's not going to sue. And she's just going, blah, 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 you know, and they're using his fucking voice to like kidnap her. So he kidnaps her and brings her into the cave, right?
What
and,
the fuck?
Yeah, it's insane. And then, the American Marines get in there and they kill all the terrorists. They blow their heads off. And then
she fucks all of them?
Yeah, because she's got to pay him back. So she fucks these Marines. And I remember seeing and going like, this is so insane. But this is like, I mean, it's art kind of. You know what I mean? Like, it's like so weird because now you're using Osama bin Laden's voice. It's not like he's going to sue you, you know, right? I mean, he's probably in the cave hiding. So that's what kept me at that company. That's why I never quit. Yeah. Until I eventually quit because morally it was like I can't be here anymore. But that was, so I'm going from I meet with the company, it's like the contract girls don't like come in their face and then I'm at a company where we're shooting Osama bin Laden, get a sit blown off in a cave.
Yeah.
I think I'll be here.
Yeah.
Because creatively it was just so, that's why I did Texas Assassin Massacre and movies like that, because it was like, you're giving me all the freedom in the world minus those three stupid rules.
Yeah.
You know, and well, legal rules, two legal rules. I mean, eventually he went to prison for obscenity, so he did stuff that was borderline.
Yeah.
And at least government-wise, obscene. But that's why, like, I worked for a big gonzo company, Anabolic, for years, and it was literally production line porn. Money was like falling out of the sky,
yeah,
but creatively it was, there was nothing there. So yeah, it was just six gonzo scenes per movie. And so we did our horror movies on weekends and things like that, because I made enough money where we could just like start funding our own fun horror movies and stuff like that. But then once I moved on from Anabolic, I worked for Tom Byron Pictures, where it was more storyline driven and it was kind of funny. So mm-hmm. So I got to be campy and things like that. And then when we started our company called Pooba, where we did porn star websites, at that point I had the ultimate control.
Yeah.
And we did websites for some of the bigger models, Asa Akira and Christy Mack and Nicole Aniston, God, Skin Diamond, just down the list. And they were all really cool with like, whatever you want, just go ahead and do it. And there was one, we did a scene, I hit up Nicole and Aniston one day and I go, "So would you be cool fucking a Minotaur?" She goes, What?
Yes.
I think I told the story like, yeah.
I don't think you told it on here, but I think you've told me, we always talk when we shoot. So.
Yeah, so I bought this, was like $380 Minotaur costume. And she's all like, "You want me to fuck a Minotaur?" And I'm like, "I think it'd be kind of cool," because I was doing a movie called Viking Girls Gone Horny, you know? And it was all content for the girls' websites, yeah, you know? So she's all like, She's like, okay, let me think about it. And I go, what if I rent a real snake? So we could do like inserts with you with a real snake. She's like, okay, I'm in. Yeah. So we rented this big yellow snake. And the scene was, so this hungry minotaur is walking through this forest. He's all pissed off and hungry. It was Alex Legend before he became vegan and all slimmed out. He used to be like super big. And so we have Nicole Aniston dressed as a Viking. And she's got this snake around her neck. She's got carrots hanging off a tree with a net above the carrots. And so the joke was that she's arguing with a snake because the snake keeps hissing.
Yeah.
So I added the sound effect of the snake going, sss, and she's like, shh, and the snake's like, sss. So they're arguing because one's shushing, one's hissing. And looking back on it, like, oh my God, that's Nicole Aniston with a snake right here next to her face.
Just like hissing at
it. Like, just like hissing, like, oh my God. So eventually she captures the hungry minotaur. And my porno Spielberg moment was the line, still the best line I've ever written. She leans into the minotaur and she goes, I've always wanted to milk one of your kind. And to me, I'm like, I was like, this is such a great line. And so we would shoot stuff like that. And in that same movie, we had Leia Falcon take my avian trophy, shove up her butt.
Yeah.
And,
love that.
And so, I mean, as content trade, because it was for the girl's website, that movie got 5 AVN nominations. That's insane for a movie that everybody's working for free. Everybody's working on their time because it's their content as well. So they're willing to put that much more into it. And we won Most Outrageous Scene for Leia Falcon taking my avian trophy and shoving it up her butt. And well,
and what's so cool about that too, like, because to hear about productions like this where you're actually like putting in the time and thought into making something creative, like, I remember even just like, just the scenes were boring. And I know that Girl for some people is already very boring. Like, some people it's not their thing. Some people it's the only thing they watch. But it's like, even just like the outfits were like, in theory, you see a mood board, right? They send you a mood board of what they're looking for. And then you see what they found and you're like, what is this? And then half the time they end up using your own outfits that you've brought anyway.
Right. Yeah.
Or if they do make you wear the thing that they've bought, then they'll keep it and like sell it. I've had it.
Oh.
I've had some companies, it's not some companies, but some producers and directors didn't do that. But some people are like, your outfit's kind of gone at the end of the scene. You're like, you know what I mean?
And then that's crazy.
I had seen a couple other girls told me this too, where like they found like their outfits like on one of those
like a fan
purchase type things for stuff. And so it's like, When the outfits are, you don't already don't feel sexy because of like whatever it is that they're putting you in or some weird scenario that doesn't make sense. And when you have the creative freedom to make your own stuff as a content creator, it's like, oh, well, I'm going to dress up as a pirate. Oh, I'm going to get like all this kind of set stuff laid out. Yeah. So it doesn't look like it's campy because it's porn, but it's not so campy that you're like, come on, did you even try? We all have bad habits and breaking them is hard. That's where Fume comes in. You've probably heard about Fume, but you might not know what it is. Fume is a flavored air device. No smoke, no batteries, just a beautiful reminder to breathe easy. So if you have a bad habit that you're trying to turn into a good one, head on over to tryfume.com/TWND to get a discount on your Journey starter pack. That's actually what Fume sent over to me to give a little taste test. And currently I am, well, not puffing on because there's no smoke, but I am breathing Peach Blush, which is actually, see, no smoke, a delicious flavor that I am very excited to be sipping on, as it were. I'm definitely trying to break a few bad habits of my own this year, and I think that Fume is a great place to start with that. I am an oral fixation girly. I always have to have something in my mouth. I was chewing on my fingernails for ages and other bad habits that we don't want to talk about. So if you want to join me on my journey to quit a bad habit and also help support the show that you love so very much, head on over to tryfume.com/TWND and let me know your experience, because I am excited to turn my bad habit into a good one with Fume. Tryfume.com/TWND.
Right. Yeah, that, right. Yeah, that's the part that I find the most fun, is that the creative part of it. Especially with Alter Eye, like, I do whatever I want. I dress people the way I want, and some don't want to get tattooed. We had a girl get 15 face tattoos. Her idea. She drew them all out, and she got on her face. And during
it's
a
like
scene,
freckles at that point.
Yeah, so many. Except they look like little ants and bugs and scorpions and
that's a bold choice.
Yeah, it was a lot. Well, she goes by FaceTime Mommy, so.
Oh, well, yeah, right? That all tracks.
Right, exactly. Makes sense.
There really is something for everybody, isn't there?
100%. But yeah, the longer you're in the industry, especially now, you're like, man, there's people like everything.
Oh, everything. I used to think the world was so black and white.
Yeah.
I had no idea. It's the more I go on, and I even reached the point where when people started calling me Muscle Mommy, mm-hmm. at first I was like, don't call me that. Don't. Mommy? The fuck? Like, I'm not that old. Come on. But now I'm like, Mommy, Daddy, I don't give a fuck. Like, call it whatever you want.
You know, it's funny because I'm so like not into like that daddy thing. I think it's kind of gross.
I don't like it personally. But if a man wants to call me daddy and tell him to fuck him in the ass.
Oh, yeah, it's a different story.
Then totally different.
Last year at All Porn Awards, my movie won, Inkmotel 5, won... whatever one the category. So we'll have everybody on stage. And I can't do public speaking. So I'm up on stage. I'm like, so I hand the microphone over to Taylor Nicole. And the girls call me their porn dad or alt dad because I'm always looking out for them. So she gets on the mic and she goes, Ivan's our porn daddy. And I grab the mic and go, porn dad, not porn daddy.
Not
porn daddy.
Daddy,
creepy. Porn dad, not creepy. She goes, sorry, porn dad. I'm like, clean
porn
that up.
Father?
Porn father. That's really bad. That's I think that's worse than porn daddy. Oh my goodness. I dated a girl that was way too young for me and she thought it would be funny. I go, don't ever call me daddy. That's weird. So she started calling me dad and I'm like,
this is worse almost.
Yeah, it really is. I'm just like, no. And she's like, no, I'm just going to call you dad. And I'm like, no. No,
call me Ivan.
Yeah, this is like, call me by my name, please. Jeez.
Call me anything else, Chancellor, something.
Exactly. God, no.
I don't really get the pet name things for me personally.
No.
This just doesn't, I don't know. Yeah.
I remember years ago with Cammy, my ex from some years ago, she called me babe one day and I go, don't ever call me that. She goes, why? I go, I've literally been at expos where you call every fucking fan babe.
Oh,
so it's
yeah.
your throwaway word. I don't want that throwaway. If you just use it with me, that's fine. But you're using it with all these creepy dudes. And
yeah.
And we had this fight about it. She goes, no, I get it. And I'm like, oh, yeah. Because you do fuck a fans all the time, too. So, like, they're all babes to you. I don't want to be a babe.
Yeah. Well, good. I'm dating you.
Yeah, that's exactly it. No. We're good on that.
Yeah. I also had, like, so much of my life where, like, I didn't hear my name, really, which is weird. Like, outside of shooting with people and stuff like that. Like, my ex didn't call me by my name. Barely addressed me at all, but like would always be like my wife.
Oh, okay.
My wife. Or like, hey, you. Like, it was weird when I got out of that relationship and started hearing like my legal name be used or to like hang out with more people. I'm like, here, like Molly. And so I'm like, it's kind of weird because I'm like, oh, I have an identity again. It's kind of, I feel like using people's name is kind of sick because it feels like a lot more personal than just.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like something you would call someone that you don't really know that well.
Well, I think it's like in our industry, you should call people by their stage name because you don't want to slip up and say the real name.
Yes, of course. I don't even mean just like legal names. Yeah. I'm just saying in general, like sometimes people like I feel like just don't say each other's name. Like it's very much a lot of like these I statements or just like some random little, I don't know, I guess you would say nickname or something like that. Something you call everyone like how she calls everyone babe. You know what I mean? But I feel like that's so impersonal.
Right, 100%. Yeah.
Especially when you're when you have a partner or something. So it's totally different.
It took me years before I would ever introduce myself as Ivan because my real name is Slava. And so I would always go like, I shit you not, like the first two, three companies I worked for, they all called me Slava, not Ivan. And so people would get confused when like I would have like new people in my life with the old people and they're Slava and they're like, who the fuck is that?
Yeah.
I got a great story for you. Fuck this guy. He's dead. He go fuck himself. I don't care if he's dead or he's rotten in hell somewhere. Anyways, he was a male performer and he was kind of like a scummy male performer. He was one of those dudes who did gay porn but would shit on gay dudes. Which made no sense to me. He was one of those guys. Okay, so,
cool.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. And the way we found out, he was at Extreme Associates. He was shooting It was like two guys and a girl blowjob. And
I thought you were going to say two guys, one cup for some reason.
I'm sure that good guy must have done that. I wouldn't be, fuck that guy. Anyways, so the other guy was openly, was a straight male performer, when it became a contract gay performer, came back to doing straight. Mm-hmm. So it's him, a girl, and this other guy. And this other guy starts saying all these things about this dude behind his back. Oh, he's you know, like using the F word, like all kinds of. It was just like, wow, what the hell? Cool. This guy's so nice. What's the deal? And then our graphic guy starts hitting up different producers, going like, hey, this fucking dude's been like, and they're like, wait a minute, this guy's literally does gay porn. And we're like, what do you mean? Send us a box cover. He's on the cover of Lumberjack Gangbang, and he's the lumberjack on the bottom.
And not bottom lumberjack.
He's the bottom lumberjack. He's the stump. Or whatever you, with all the axes right in him.
Let me take all your wax.
But he's like so, you know, like homophobic. And so fast forward, like I was shooting it for about a year and a half or whatever. And then my ex and I, Cammy, we broke up and she decided to go to Porn Star Karaoke. They have one here now, which I'm assuming it's not like the one back there, which was like in Burbank, which is like a meat market of like, it's fucked up to say like lower tier talent, like because talent that was shooting a lot were too busy to go to these things. Yeah. So you have talent that's kind of like shooting. You have fans.
The B squad.
Yeah. And media people that will show me your tits, show me your asshole, that kind of stuff. You know.
Yeah. Trying to push the limits on what they can get for their.
Yeah, for their own stuff, there's no OnlyFans, but now with OnlyFans, there's some of these media people, and so she goes to Porn Star Karaoke, and then. When she comes back, she goes, oh, yeah, I saw. This guy's name's Dick. I'm not going to say his last name. He can fuck himself. Dick in hell. Dick the Stump. Dick the Stump, yeah. Dick the Lumberjack. So she goes, oh, I saw Dick was at Porn Star Karaoke, and he asked me out to go see Motley Crue or whatever. Mind you, this was so long ago, 20-some years ago. So she goes, I wasn't interested. And now my heart's like sinking because we literally just broke up. You know, we're still talking and trying to figure things out. And literally she goes, I know how he is. I know he does gay porn. He's weird and this. She goes, I'm not interested in any of that. But she goes, but he shit-talked you. Now, this is the best part. The best part is he knows Cammy's dating an Ivan. Mm-hmm. He only knows me as Slava.
So he's just sending it.
Yes. So the following week, I go with her to Porn Star Karaoke. And so I'm sitting there with her and our people or whatever. And he walks in, right? Mm. And he knows me as Slava. He doesn't know me. I'm Ivan, the guy that she just broke up with publicly, all kinds of stuff. So
Slava, what you doing? Oh,
yeah,
here,
yeah, literally, he's a Slava.
It's Dick the Stump.
Literally, you want your you want to do some lumberjacking? So I stand up to say hello to him, and he's like, "Hey, Slava, see." And Cammy goes, "Dick, Ivan, Dick," and the look on his face. He would have beat, I don't know how to fight. He would have beat my ass if he came down to it. But the look on his face, how like, he was like, oh shit, I just burned a serious bridge. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that's priceless. But that's because, you know, you know people by the real names and not their stage names. And it was hard for me to go by because like my original direct name was Ivan, middle name E, last name Rection. Ivan Erection, like Ivan Erection.
I love that.
So I eventually like, I want to be a serious director. Can I go by my real name? And they're like, no, because we already promoted you as Ivan. But I hate this Ivan Erection thing. They're like, well, do it. You're going to be Ivan. We don't care if you have a last name or not. So then became
just like
Ivan.
Cher.
Yeah. Then I became just Ivan.
Bono.
Cher, Bono, Madonna. Yep. You know? But still, some old reviewers, if they review my movie, they'll put directed by Ivan Erection. I'm like, it's kind of cool now. I don't care.
It's kind of fun. It's like, it's nostalgic.
Yeah. I actually made a hockey jersey with it says Ivan Erection on the back. I'm like, that's kind of funny.
That's awesome.
I mean, there was another director, Vic Legina, which is Lick Vagina. Yeah. Right. There was a Brazzers guy.
Is he around anymore?
I think what happened during COVID, they did a wholesale firing of all the... See, this is the problem when directors start banging a lot of girls.
I know.
It catches up with you.
Oh, trust me. Yeah. I've heard all about that. I just don't know if he was back.
That's what I know of. I think he's directing for somebody else, for another big company. That's what I was told. I don't know the guy. I think I met him like twice maybe at most.
I liked his dog.
Oh, but, he had a dog. See, that's how little I know of the guy.
I used to shoot at that Browser studio all the time because I was contracted. So whenever I did a local Vegas shoot, it was always there.
Gotcha.
But that was That was back in the day. I'm too busy now. Do you have anything upcoming this year? Like anything that you're excited about or nothing that you can really talk about right yet?
Actually, I just started shooting Ink Motel 6 a few days ago. And
that's what you have the setup for at your house, right?
Yeah.
Where we shot a couple photos. And
yeah, cool. Yeah. So, and I'm actually, the one thing I'm looking forward to is I have over 1,000 VHS tapes. Because I'm like a sports nerd, so I had no life, I would just record everything.
Yeah.
Dating back to like 1983. That's all. Yeah. Oh my God. So I'm like, fuck these tapes. What am I going to do with them? So my plan is, and I've done this before, I'm going to make walls of VHS tapes.
Yeah. I was thinking that when you said all VHS, that's going to be really cool looking.
But they're going to be hanging this way. Because we shine a light through them and smoke it up, then you see the slats of light through the VHS tapes.
That's cool, like with the little circles. Where cool.
I've done that before in my condo in LA, but now I'm just going to do it on a bigger scale at the house. And I have TV monitors and all kinds of stuff. So that's my big project that I want to put together. I found a Lazy Susan that holds 400 pounds and it's 12 inches wide. So I'm going to put a piece of board on it and have models spin on it.
That is so cool.
I think that's going to be super cool. I'm back to shooting because I shoot wrestling stuff and mostly death matches, which is the really gory, bloody death match wrestling stuff. So I have in 2 weeks, I have a shoot for a company called Crimson Crown Wrestling. But at the end of July is their big show. I'm like, they're very gory. Mm-hmm. And it's 16-man deathmatch tournament. 8 women, 8 men, and they're going to butcher each other.
Oh, wow.
Really bad. But I'm looking forward to that because the last 2 years I won Deathmatch Photographer of the Year, which is funny because I've never done wrestling pictures until like about 3 years ago.
Yeah.
I just did pictures of motorcycle stunt guys in Oakland.
Oh, cool.
It was a 22-hour day. We drove out at 5 in the morning with Samantha Mack, shot and drove right back. And it was basically one of those things where it was something to do with Vans possibly. Mm-hmm. So to me, it was cool to do. I didn't get paid. I didn't care because to me, just have this experience. And and I guess that some guys affiliated with Vans really liked the pictures. But the cool thing was, so the big guy who's like the world's best Harley Davidson stunt motorcycle guy comes up to me and he goes, "Have you ever shot motorcycle stunts?"
Mm-hmm.
I go, "No." He goes, "Oh, shit." I go, "Well, I've never shot wrestling. In the last 2 years, I was a deathmatch photographer of the year."
Yeah.
And he goes, "I liked your answer." I'm like, "Dude, I got this, man. I technically I know what I'm doing. I'm just finding the angles where I don't get run over by you motherfuckers."
Yeah.
Because they're like, "Zzz." And at one point, they thought it'd be funny to like go around me like this. So Samantha's next to me, pulling me. Yeah. So they didn't get too close to me. And I'm just snapping away pictures. I'm like, this is insane because these motorcycles are, they're like, 500 pounds, 1,000 pounds. And it just takes one slip up and the boop, it's on top of you.
Yeah.
But it was, so that I'm looking forward to doing more of that in July. There's going to be a big show that I'm going to go to and do pictures. Last year, they had the big John Ball, where the motorcycle goes inside and you stand on top of it. So this year, I want to be inside it.
Yeah.
I think it would be cool to get some really cool. Yeah. So my plan is to be inside and get some really cool pictures.
Sick.
So there's like a lot of stuff that's with Alter Erotic. We have all these movies, the Sync Motel that I just started. So there's it's an overload, but
that's cool. And upcoming for y'all as well, I'm going to be making Ivan take some cosplay photos for me, the costume I've been working on that I kind of mentioned to you before. But we'll have a lot of fun stuff this year. I think it feels like a pretty good creative year. I feel like there was a little bit of a stalemate of things, but I feel like things are popping off.
Yeah, it's literally still the third month of this year. And
yeah, it feels like a year has passed.
Yeah.
It feels like it's already been a year.
it's been so much. And
I feel like we were even saying when we were shooting the other day, like, "I haven't shot you since before AVN." It's like, "Oh, yes, we have actually, like twice."
You're right. Yeah, it's time. It's just like standstill. Yeah. That's so funny.
No, it's crazy though.
Yeah.
Fuck. Well, thank you for joining me today.
Yes.
Can you let everybody know where they can follow you if they want to see all the crazy shit that you're doing?
Oh gosh. Twitter is IamIvanXXX. My Instagram is IamSlivan, which is IamSlivan. And Alter Erotic, that's where I'm.
Hell yeah. Go support Alter Erotic because it sounds awesome. Every scene that you've ever described sounds amazing. And it's cool because they are collaborating with creators instead of just taking from creators, which is super awesome, which I'm sure everyone appreciates.
Especially we shoot a lot of new models. So for them to get an opportunity to be on the professional set. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's growing pains with new models, but for most part, it's it's wonderful.
Hell yeah. You know, so. I love that. Well, thank you all for tuning in today. And your homework for this week is to go check out one of the productions from Alterotic. And you can follow the podcast on Instagram and X at TWND Podcast. You can follow me on Instagram at This Redhead Is SFW. Please be liking, subscribing, sharing with a friend, leaving a comment to help the algorithm. And honestly, thank you so much for joining. And we will see you Monday. Do you know what C-U-M spells?
Come. Mm-hmm. It took me a second.
The Totally Wholesome, Not Dirty podcast is presented by TWND Productions, created and hosted by Molly Stewart, and produced by David Warren.